Welcome to the CareerWise Nurse Podcast. This is your place if you are launching your career as a nurse or are preparing to launch. If you're growing into your role or growing into a new role, or if you're seeking to thrive or just need a little refresh in your work as a nurse or your life as a nurse. Living your best nursing life doesn't just happen. It takes energy and dedication. On this podcast, you will have the opportunity to learn, live, and love all the experiences of being a nurse. Nursing is truly an amazing journey. It's your amazing journey. It's your license. It's your career. It's your job. It's your reality. And it's your certification. It's all about you. You will get strategies and stories, inspiration, information on how to live your best life in this podcast. This is all about helping you stay fresh, energized, and making sure that you are your best self on the job and when you're off the job, when you finish that day shift or the night shift, or your day is done. And this is about today, tomorrow, and your nursing future. So hang on. Thank you for being here with me on this amazing journey that we call nursing life. Welcome to the CareerWise Nurse Podcast. I'm Natalie Dietry, your host, and I have a special guest today named Dave Dovell. He is an author. He is a nurse who really is committed to good patient care. He has broad experience in the working world, multiple healthcare background experience, and he decided to really support the new nurse with a book called Brand New Nurse. So Dave, I'm so glad that you're here. And I'd first like you just to give the listener a little bit of information about yourself. Then we'll dig into all about the book.
That sounds good. Hi, Natalie. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. This is really exciting. I'm not too far off from being a brand new nurse myself. I have 5 years under my belt as a registered nurse. I work in New Jersey and currently work on a progressive care unit. Very, very busy floor. And we see a great variety of patients and different issues, things like that. Great opportunity to learn new things every day. The steps that got me into nursing, I actually started out as a history teacher, got my degree in history from Rutgers. And when I had trouble finding a full-time history job, I worked in restaurants for a while. And it really wasn't until my best friend got sick and I saw him, the interactions that he had with his nurses taking care of him in the hospital, that I was inspired to become a nurse myself. So since then, I've worked in acute cardiac care. Prior, I was an EMT all through nursing school. I was an ER tech in a very busy city emergency department, did the overnight shift. And all those experiences, I felt fairly well prepared to step into my role as a nurse when I passed my NCLEX. But the experience that I saw of other new nurses coming in behind me, especially during the COVID pandemic, they were not as well equipped to come in, and it was a very, very stressful set of circumstances for them.
Thank you so much for really bringing us up to where you made the book a real thing. And I just want to pause right now and have you tell us where to get the book, because I know it's available through your website, thenewrn.com. But tell listeners where they can get the book, because I just want to highlight that right up front.
Of course. Yeah. The book, Brand New Nurse, Surviving Your First Day on the Job, is available in paperback and ebook formats on Amazon.com. You just have to search for Brand New Nurse by Dave Dovell.
Thanks. I have my copy, and I think I searched by your name, and it came up right away, Dave Dovell. But Brand New Nurse, or The New Nurse, for preparing for your first day on the job. You definitely nailed it in this book. So thank you, because this is not the first book to prepare nurses for what you didn't learn in school or how to apply what you learn in the real world. But everyone that can share their experience like you have, it is meaningful. And we talked a little bit beforehand that this is for the new nurse to prepare for their first day. We'll dive into that. But not every listener is a new nurse. So how can someone that's not a new nurse benefit from this book?
Well, I've had a lot of positive feedback, overwhelmingly positive feedback from experienced nurses who've read the book as well. And that kind of hits from a couple different angles. I think any nurse that precepts at their job, if you are responsible for taking orientees under your wing, showing them the ropes, this would be a great read for them as well, because it puts you back into the shoes of a brand new nurse. If you have been in the profession for a while, it can be easy to forget just how difficult and stressful and overwhelming it can be stepping into the hospital with that RN badge for the very first time and having responsibility over real human patients. There are so many things to learn on those first couple shifts. You have to learn policies, protocols, who's who, what phone numbers do I have to call when different things happen? And that's even all after once you've figured out where the bathroom is on your unit. So, you know, being able to read Brand New Nurse and put yourself back into the shoes of a new nurse, I think really it facilitates a better approach and a more understanding approach to preceptorship and really understanding the struggles that your orientee is probably facing when they come in. And then also just, you know, some of the information contained in the book, talking about the emotional side of nursing, some of the stories and the tips and advice that are shared in there by both myself and I had 11 contributing nurses add their experiences as well. That really transcends beyond just, you know, new to practice RNs. And that can help everybody from experienced nurses to CNAs, PCTs. I've even had unit coordinators, secretaries, and members of management pick up a copy, read through it, and they said that they really enjoyed the book. And usually the chapters about dealing with doctors and time management and some of the emotional things too, they were the biggest hits among the more experienced nurses.
Thank you. So that explains the broad perspective, you know, the broad listening audience for your book. And I can just recall that when I was a new nurse, new grad, it was not nearly as complex as it is now in terms of how much information I was overloaded with on my first day. I think that now, in my recent experience as a clinical educator and mentor, I had a long list of classes at all the different levels within the organization, the hospital, the system, the department, and the line of service, the service line. I had schedules I had to give the nurses for all of the education and orientation from multiple levels. And they showed up on the first day thinking they were going to be their preceptor. They were going to get to do patient care. And that is hardly the case. But for a new nurse to walk in and see everything that goes on, to have your book ahead of time would really be helpful. Because I recall I would meet the new nurses on their first day a little bit before shift change. So about 10 to 7 in the morning. And they would be there for huddle and they would get to meet their preceptor or who they were paired with that day. Hopefully it was their regular preceptor. But then I'm sure as they hear report, they can't even begin to process everything, even though they probably listened to report when they were students. Could have been any length of time since they were taking a report or hearing a report in school to when they're actually starting work it could be quite a while, depending on how long it took to complete the NCLEX, get licensed, get their license, get hired. But there's information overload in the first 20 minutes when they're on the unit. So tell me what you would tell a new nurse for their first day and how to use this book in advance of that.
Well, when I wrote Brand New Nurse, I had an entire notebook full of ideas, tips and things like that, nursing hacks, advice on how to get organized and, you know, different ways to approach absorbing new information when it is presented in an overwhelming way. But that was just a list in a notebook. And then I turned that list into an outline. And then the outline grew. And eventually I started to put that outline into, you know, book format. And that outline transitioned into a conversation. The whole book is almost like a pep talk for a new nurse, you know, the night before that first shift. And being able to read the book, which I intentionally kept very light. I remember reading thousands of pages as a student nurse, you know, and so my mission was to set out and, you know, get new nurses that just got done reading thousands of pages to buy this book, you know, and say, yeah. And so I made sure to keep the whole thing. It's light. There's some humor in there. But it really does read like we're having a conversation, and I'm just trying to impart, you know, my advice from having not so recently been in that position myself, on how to walk in that first day and just be confident. And my number one tip for any new nurse coming in, number one tip is to acknowledge that you are allowed to be new. There are a lot of things that are going to be expected of you coming in. But you will have deficits in knowledge, especially if you're on a specialized unit. I started on a cardiac floor. Every nurse that I worked with was basically an expert in cardiology. They knew about every procedure. They had abbreviations I never heard of. They knew all the information on every cardiac medication. And, you know, cardiology, it was a focus in nursing school, but I had no chance going in there and thinking that I was going to know everything that was going to be expected of me, you know, at the conclusion of my orientation. But you get to be new. If somebody asks you a question, you say, no, but I'd love to learn how to find out. Your orientation, you know, the most important thing I think is to carry a small notebook with you and keep a record of everything that you encounter that you don't know. And then when that shift ends or your day off, you brush up, you look things up. YouTube is your friend. You know, just make sure you're looking at good videos from universities and things like that and getting, you know, real actual knowledge. And the next time you walk through the doors, you will be better, you'll be smarter, and you'll be more informed.
New nurses are starting to learn all over again. And the language that is spoken within a specialty unit or a service line, or even within an organization, it's very foreign because the people that are not brand new, everyone around that new nurse, they've gained fluency and competency in the work. And the language that's spoken has, it's new to that new nurse. And in time, they will get there, but they come in with the minimum competency to care for a patient. And even over the course of orientation, they transition from guided, you know, being guided in everything they do to being able to care for, ideally, in order to get off orientation, right? A set number of patients. Still, not as an expert, they're novices, but they will gain that fluency, start to gain an understanding of the language and grow in their fluency over time. They're not going to know it in the beginning. And when you said, allow yourself to be new, right? There are so many fewer times for newness and the opportunity to be a novice as you go through life, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, just because you're not a new to practice nurse, just because you're still showing off your passing score on the NCLEX to all your friends, doesn't mean that that you're not going to have that opportunity to be a new nurse all over again. When I came from cardiology and started working in the progressive care unit, I sort of had, some tunnel vision working in cardiology. I didn't see liver disorders. I didn't see neuro. I've had to take care of a couple postpartum patients, definitely things that we wouldn't have seen on a specialized cardiology floor. So I was new coming in and had a lot of things that I had to learn. And yeah, it goes everything from the language to starting a new job and just having to figure out all the protocols again. I remember discharging a patient at some point during my orientation at my new job. And like 45 minutes later, I walked by the room and I said, man, they're still here. And he said, well, yeah, they're still here. Did you take them downstairs? I said, no, at my other job, transport did that. Well, at this hospital, transport doesn't do discharges. The floor staff does. So, I said, oh, okay. That explains it. So there's always going to be those bumps in the road. You're going to be new all over again. Anytime you switch floors, jobs, hospitals, roles.
You didn't think to ask, did you? It never crossed your mind to ask.
No, I was new. I was overwhelmed. Yeah. I was worried about keeping everybody alive and making sure their lab values were okay and all those things. That was one of those little curveballs. And I said, oh, okay, well, now I know. And we had a golden rule in EMS. I was an EMT at a fire company. I did 911 for 7 years. And our golden rule was, no matter what, you never drop a patient. Because a lot of our work was, carrying people out of houses and down 3 flights of stairs from an upstairs apartment and things like that. So that was the golden rule. You never drop a patient. And so with regards to nursing, when you come in, there are a couple golden rules. There are things that you definitely don't break. You never harm a patient. You never allow harm to come to a patient. All the other things that will not cause harm to a patient. If you make a mistake here and there, it's okay because we're all human, if anybody wants to beat you up about it, you just shrug and say, well, listen, I'm new. I didn't know. Now I do.
That's great that you just said, hey, I'm new. I didn't know. Even that takeaway for people from the book, allow yourself to be the new nurse and sort of enjoy that opportunity. Because like I said, people, as we go through life, as you go through your career, the new experience doesn't happen that often. We get set in our ways, we grow in our career. In life, the newness and the excitement, the curiosity of being a kid or, starting your first nursing job, that experience seems to happen less and less as we go through life, right? Just not as many, maybe we aren't as curious. So for that new nurse, they're going to be very curious. I like your advice to have a notebook. And there's homework at the end of the shift or the next day. And it's really about taking in everything they need to take in their time as an orientee. There's no other time they're going to have the support.
You need to take ownership of your learning. And I think that's one of the things that nursing programs do get right. I mean, largely nursing schools do not hold anybody's hand. They give you what information you're responsible for. There's a lecture, there's a PowerPoint. A lot of them have different softwares like Elsevier that they use. But for the most part, I don't know that I knew anybody that I went through nursing school with that didn't have their favorite YouTube channels, their favorite nursing podcasts, pocket guides and things like that, that they would, probably do the majority of their learning through those secondary sources that they went out and secured themselves. So coming into a hospital, it's going to be the same thing. You're going to have to continue to learn just like we all do throughout our careers. But for experienced nurses who see new nurses come out on their units, and whether you precept them directly or whether you are just working alongside these new nurses, you know, the days of eating our young are long over. These new nurses have to come in and be successful. And, you know, I challenge anybody in nursing, whether you're a 25, 30 year veteran, or, you know, you're in 5-6 years like me, you have to view supporting these new nurses as a job requirement. You really do. They are the future. They're going to be the ones, you know, if you're in an organization that'll give you some holidays off when you've been there a while, they're the ones that are going to be taking those shifts. They're going to be the ones to fill up the staff roster, so you're not constantly getting pulled into overtime situations. You know, and they're going to be the ones that, if you foster their growth as new nurses, and if you teach them appropriately and take the time and have patience with them, they're going to be the ones that work right alongside you in RRTs and codes and just daily nursing, and they will keep your patients safe with you. There's no room anymore for any kind of negativity or bullying or eye rolling or anything like that. And fortunately, I haven't worked at an organization where I've seen a lot of that, but I do hear that it's out there. And, you know, I think we should all be taking steps. Not that everybody has to sit down and write a book, you know, or have a blog or something, but everybody should take steps in their own way to just help to support and welcome new nurses onto their units and, you know, into our hospital families.
I agree. This is the work family. And the new nurses that come to work on our units, I really think of inpatient units, but any setting, they're our future. And I felt, and I believe this, and you've echoed this, we want everyone to be successful. And I felt that, you know, no one walks away a failure. And I know that not every new nurse that came on the unit where I was the mentor and the educator ended up staying. And I realized that we don't ask people to come and try it, see how you like it. You know, and an organization is never going to say, oh, you know, if it doesn't work out, you know, that's okay. They're never going to put that out there, but it is really true. And not every unit is a fit for every person. And I used to say, oh, the hospital is, you know, the basic RN graduates and can keep their head above water, you know, 4 foot of water. In the hospital, it's, you have to be able to keep your head above 5 feet of water. And then let's say you work in critical care or oncology, you got to be able to keep your head above 6 feet of water. You know, not all places that new nurses go are created equally. And we don't preface it with, give this a try. I almost think we should, because people don't know what they're getting into. And they don't carry full responsibility as a new nurse until they're really done with orientation. So there are a lot of challenges facing new nurses. And I know we don't want anyone to walk away feeling like a failure, because that's not the case. And your book gives good background for new nurses to help get a reference, you know, frame everything that they're experiencing from that first day forward. And I love that you included the experienced input, you know, all the people that contributed their advice or their recommendations. I really like that part of the book. I can relate to that.
I like your suggestion that, you know, as of now, you know, hospitals don't really bring in nurses and say, hey, give it a shot on this unit. If it doesn't work, and da da da. But, you know, there would be something, there would be a lot of advantage to hiring nurses and sort of having some sort of, I guess, like an expanded round and robin, you know, orientation where that nurse that gets hired, they can mark down their preference in terms of unit, you know, but if they mark down ERICU as their preferred units, and throughout that orientation, they have multiple preceptors and they're followed by the nursing educators and things like that. Look, if it doesn't look like that nurse is going to be set up for success, if they don't have those skill sets developed yet to be successful in those tougher areas, you know, maybe they get offered something, sort of match the nurse, match the candidate to the position, a little better than we do sometimes.
I know directors. Go ahead. I know directors want to fill their vacancies, and sometimes the people who were externs or were techs come to work after they graduate from their nursing program on those units. So the unit has, and the leadership has, a sense of how that person will fit in and what is their capability potential. And as new nurses, they have some familiarity with the organization or even the unit. So there are, not everyone comes in having never spent time on that unit or in the system. The learning curve varies. But I really like how you said, like nursing school, people have to be in charge of their own learning, because when they're new nurses, they're not getting graded, but they have to successfully complete all the orientation objectives and meet all the expectations for everything that goes into their orientation: classroom, skills, simulation, and direct patient care, which shouldn't be the last thing I say, but often it is because of all the demands on the new nurse. But your book helps people to get in that mindset for a whole new learning opportunity.
Yeah, and it's so challenging too with you know, the time management. There's a lot of common themes that we hear from new nurses that are very frequent pain points, and time management is definitely a big one. I also wanted to make sure that I included an entire chapter on night shift and what it's like. You know, a lot of people have only ever functioned, you know, in the daytime, and they have a pretty traditional schedule. But it's very common for new nurses, you know, to come in and get offered a night shift position. One, they're tougher to fill and keep filled. And two, in a lot of places, it does offer a more slowed down environment. Not to say that, you know, night shift doesn't have an entire slew of its own unique challenges, but a lot of places, you know, you have a there's a little less chaos on night shift. So it gives new grad nurses a chance to kind of come in and learn the ropes a little bit. So I have a whole chapter in there about, you know, the transition to night shift and the challenges that I faced working a night shift job and how I overcame them. And I try and hone in on some of the other common pain points, you know, the discomfort that a lot of new nurses have making those first couple phone calls to a physician. I mean, that's, you know, I hear people stammer and stutter and get tripped up by easy questions. And I say, listen, when you make that phone call, open up the patient's chart, have everything in front of you, have your notes, and anticipate some of their questions. You know, if you're calling about a patient who is, you know, all of a sudden they pass some bloody stool, right? And, you know, anticipate some of the doctor's questions. Don't have them get on the line and say, well, are they on anticoagulation? And you don't have the answer.
I don't know. It's not, you know? Not what you want to have to say.
Yeah. At least say, well, I have their chart open. Let me check, you know, and return an answer promptly. You know, but you
Which
have
is
to
completely
anticipate.
Fair, because there's a lot of information to sort through for a patient when you're going to be giving and receiving over a phone call about a change in status of the patient or something that could be going on. Yeah.
And yeah, I used to write out a sticky note. You know, I'd write out my little sticky note, like my little S bar. I write that out and say, all of a sudden we have bloody stools on a patient. I'd say, okay, well, what are some relevant questions? Do they have a history of this? Are they a cardiac patient that's taking Plavix and aspirin? You know, what has their diet been the last couple of days? All of these different things. I want to make sure that we know what's going on. I'll even think ahead, you know, does the patient have diabetes? Well, because I'm anticipating the provider might make them NPO, right? So if they are diabetic and they get made NPO, do we want to get them on some fluids? Do we want to get D5 going so we don't bottom them out while they're NPO? So trying to write down all those things and just anticipate a couple questions that 30 seconds there can really save you a lot of aggravation, and it takes the stress. More importantly, it saves you from the anxiety of not feeling prepared to make that phone call.
Two thoughts. First of all, it's complicated to know who to call. That is a learning curve in and of itself, especially if you think about at night, right, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
And then the new nurse, depending on where they are in orientation and depending on the individual, do they even have the thought processing, hopefully, to anticipate what the patient needs might be? I think that we can't assume as preceptors or those of us that are on the unit, we can't assume that that new nurse is going to be able to come up with those things on their own simply by the amount of information that they're processing at any given time and the responsibilities they carry when they're in the orientation and in the patient care setting, which is why they're hired, but it's only one piece of orientation, as I've mentioned, and there's a lot going on. That's not their only patient, probably, at some point. So just being sensitive to the cognitive development, even though these are people licensed to take to do minimum patient care, you know, the minimum capability, losing my thought there, but we have to be kind to them because they have that capability, but it might not come without some support as they are facing a new situation, that first phone call to a physician.
I want to talk about a new nurse who I encountered at my last job. The preceptor and I ended up in the break room together and we were pouring coffee. And I said, how's everything going with, we'll call the new nurse Natalie. I'll say, how's everything going with Natalie? And he said, I don't know. She just can't get it together. I mean, she's so disorganized. She doesn't use a report sheet. So everything she's just writing down on a piece of copy paper. And, you know, and then she can't find the information when we ask about it. And just disorganized throughout the day. You know, she's going to the med room. She's only grabbing two or three things that she needs. And then when she's in the room, she realizes that she needs more things and she's back and forth. And right on the spot, I said, did you give her a report sheet? Did you teach her, like in the med room, did you say, hey, listen, we're not leaving this med room until we have everything. So here's the process. Or are you just following her around and watching her, you know, flail and try and stay afloat during the shift? I ended up buddied up with that new nurse at some point during her orientation because the preceptor, there was a scheduling conflict. And I gave her my report sheet. You know, I know not everybody uses them. I think they're a great tool when you're new because they're kind of fill in the blank. I mean, you get used to where all the information is on that sheet. And, you know, for easy recall, you have it there. And then I gave her a couple checklists and to-do lists that I used frequently. You know, I said, here, I made this. This is my admission checklist. Okay. It's just so I don't miss a step. All right. You know, make sure that we send the home medication list to pharmacy, all these other details. Make sure we check for, make sure all the skin prevention stuff is in place just so you don't get dinged. And, you know, she was really grateful. She said, this is amazing. I didn't have any time or, didn't think to do any of these things. You know, so that's kind of another one of my challenges that goes out to anybody who precepts. So, you know, or if you don't precept, but you see a new nurse that's struggling with something, share your way of doing things. Don't think that people just intrinsically know how to organize their workflow on a busy hospital floor. They definitely don't. And they might see a more experienced nurse that writes their notes down on some copy paper, and that might work for them. There's a nurse that works on my unit right now. She doesn't write anything down. Nothing. But she can give you a report. It's impressive. But she can give you a report. When we do our bedside rounding, she has no paper. No paper. And she's like, this is a 70-year-old female patient. NPO since midnight. She's allergic to Cipro and Sulfa. And she's here for this. Came on this. And she just goes. I don't know how you do that. But, you know, new nurses aren't going to always be able to match that level. So let's kind of bring it back to the basics with them a little bit and give them the tools. the work is always going to be the same. The big difference is, you know, do we have something in the way of training wheels that we can give them to make those first couple weeks easier and give them the confidence that they need to keep going?
There are so many teachable moments, and you've highlighted what you've put in your book, some of what you put in your book, because the new nurse is going to be teachable. They're seeking knowledge to be able to be successful in their work. So thank you so much for sharing. Do you have any other story you want to share about a scenario from your book as we get towards the end?
Oh, yeah, I can. My last shift, my last shift was a doozy. And so this is kind of relevant all over again. So I told you that I worked as an emergency room tech. I worked as an EMT. And so I had seen a lot of tragic things happen before I got my RN and started my first nursing job. And it's, you know, it's part of the territory. You know, you will see miracles and you will see tragedies in healthcare, very unique to healthcare. And I thought that I had a pretty good grip on how to handle things emotionally. And so I was working with a patient. I don't recall everything to do with this patient, but I took care of him for a couple of days. His primary diagnosis was CHF. And everything that we were doing was not working for him anymore. He had already been maxed out on milrinone. He was not a candidate for an LVAD procedure. And so the family that day, he was just struggling so much to breathe and he was frail. They didn't think that if he was intubated that he would ever make it off. So they decided to make him comfort measures. And he passed during my shift, and I was in the room when he took his last breaths. And I remember his daughter and granddaughter were in the room too. And they looked at him and they saw that his chest stopped rising. And they asked me, you know, did he pass? And with all this experience I had and you know, me coming in as a, you know, 6'1" guy, you know, I figured I'd be able to handle this situation, you know, and I couldn't get any words out. Natalie, I knew that if I opened my mouth, I was going to ugly cry in front of this family. And I don't know why. I know that it was a very sad thing, but it hit me like a ton of bricks. And thank God for my charge nurse. Her name's Virginia. She came in, and I remember this, like I could, if I had the means, I could paint this as a picture. She came in and she took the granddaughter and the daughter by the hand. And she said, "He's leaving us now. Would you like to pray?" And they both teared up and nodded. And the three of them bowed their heads and they prayed silently for a minute. And then Virginia walked over to the window and she opened the window a little bit. And she told me later that that's something that she had learned at a Catholic hospital, something that they would do. And it was just a way so that it would let the soul out of the room. And I just, you know, all the experience I had, I was confident. I was off orientation. I mean, I was in my first maybe 3, 4, 5 months on my own. And I had a responsibility to that family, you know, to be their support person. But I didn't have the emotional experience myself. I was ill-equipped to be that person for them. And I was just as vulnerable as they were in that moment. And so Virginia came in, she swept in and saved it. And wasn't long before I was precepting new nurses, and a very similar situation happened with a new nurse that I was precepting. And I got through it by absolutely replicating the way that my charge nurse had handled the situation. I just copycatted exactly what she did. And it was perfect. My last shift, I lost a patient that I had been taking care of for my last three shifts. Family was bedside, and it had the same kind of feeling to the whole scenario. And that's how I do things now. I do it the way that I was taught by Virginia. Virginia was never my preceptor, but she was a mentor to me and all the other new nurses that came on the floor. We had quite a few great mentors. I'll name drop Wanda and John and all them, just in case they catch the episode. So they were just absolutely invaluable, whether they precepted you as a nurse or not. And so I hope that everybody listening, who is an experienced nurse, just realize that in the same way that you have a forever impact on your patients and their family members in their most difficult times, you also have the same impact on the new nurses that come through. The nurses you precept, they will always remember their orientation, and they will always remember how you showed them how to do things and the way that you made them feel about themselves during their shifts. So I think it's equally as important as our patient care is our care of our colleagues.
And actions speak louder than words in that situation. And it made a big impression on you. Now you're carrying on that same tradition, that same behavior for others to see that you're precepting. And as I read the book, I had thought of, wow, I almost want to go back to patient care in the hospital. I mean, that's hard work, but we need people in the hospital because those are the sickest patients. And I've prefaced lately when I write about my work that I've had the privilege to take care of people in their sickest moments. And it really is a privilege and an honor. And you really highlight these moments and how moving it is to be honored with that responsibility to care for that individual and their families at these moments. It's a beautiful
thing. That's why it's okay to be proud to be a nurse. It's not everybody can do what we do. It's very, very difficult. And, I go back to what I tell a lot of people all the time. I say we see miracles, we see tragedies, we see people at their best, at their worst. For us, it might be a Thursday shift, and for our patients that are in the beds, it could very well be the worst day of their lives. And they might not remember our names, but they will remember us. And that's a huge responsibility. That's a bigger responsibility than making sure that their meds are on time. It's a bigger responsibility than charting right. Those are all things that are very important as well. But, the biggest element of nursing, the most important element of nursing is the human element. And so just that we have selected nursing as the profession and stuck with it through school and stuck with it through our careers, whether we're still at the bedside or not, or we're influencing others who are at the bedside and helping in that way. It's an honorable profession, and it's one that we can all be very proud of. I'm extremely proud to be a nurse. I tell everybody.
I feel lucky to have people like you out there making a difference, because it really does matter for our profession and for the people that need care and for our new nurses and every nurse to see people like you and look where you've landed, and you've written about it to share with others. So thank you. You make such a difference, and you really remind me now again that, gosh, maybe I need to step back into direct patient care. It hasn't been very long since I stepped away. But it's one of those things where there's always a need, and we have so many options in nursing. So I thank you, Dave, for sharing and for writing this book. And would you just highlight again how people can find you on the web? I'll include your socials in the show notes. So if you just want to talk about your website or tell people how to connect
with you. Sure, yeah. And please do connect with me. I would absolutely love to hear from anybody with any questions or comments. I'd love to have conversations across my social media platforms and things like that. On Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, I'm at the new RN. And my website and blog is thenewrn.com. And again, if you're interested in picking up a copy of Brand New Nurse, Surviving Your First Day on the Job for yourself or for the brand new nurse in your life, you can do so by visiting amazon.com and just searching for Brand New Nurse by Dave Dovell. And there is a link to that book across all my social platforms and as well on my website.
So thenewrn.com is Dave's website and where he has his blog. And Dave spells his last name, D-O-V-E-L-L. So Dave Dovell. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here, for taking the time and for doing what you do. It makes such a difference. And thank you to everyone listening. Please connect with Dave because he really is interested and continuing to do so much good. The book is just a start. I can tell you're going to do many more great things as you go through your career.
More ideas than I have time, but I'm working on it.
I hear you say, write it down. So important. Start that notebook, start that journal. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you so much, Natalie. This has been a blast.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe and tell your friends and colleagues about this podcast. Connect today with the CareerWise Nurse podcast community. Do this by emailing belong@careerwisenurse.com. That's belong@careerwisenurse.com. Join the CareerWise Nurse Facebook group. A link is provided at the bottom of the page. Leave a review for this podcast. Scroll past the episodes where you will see write a review. I read every review because I want to know what you think, what you want to know, who you want to meet to help you live your best nursing life. Tap on the stars to rate this podcast. Thank you. Talk to you soon.